Dear Sangha, today is the 2nd of March 2011. We're in the Assembly of Stars Hall in Dharma Nectar Temple. It's the second day of our French retreat. Is the translation loud enough? Can the English speakers hear? Good. Thank you. Let's listen to Victor Hugo. When the flow of water is going to the riverbank, what the wind says, what the stars say to the clouds, let's love each other. Love makes us dream and warms the heart. And the ray is happiness. Let's love each other. Always big hearts, love, and join the youth of love and of compassion. In order to be there for each other, there's a practice. We have to stop all the inner talking, because when I'm lost in my thoughts, I'm not there. So we can practice breathing in mindfulness, to bring our body back, bring the mind back to the body. One breath is enough. To love, it's offering your presence. How can you love if you're not present, if you're not there? Loving, it's being there. There's a practice. To really be there for each other, to really be able to love each other, we have to be present. So thanks to conscious breathing, you can recognize it's the fresh air, it's spring. It's your loved one who's walking at your side.
I can't hear. Do you want me to do it? I just can't hear. Can you
So we really practice the second mantra, my dear. My beloved, I know you're there, and I'm very happy. That is the mantra. With every in-breath, with every out-breath, with every step you take, you're pronouncing the mantra. You are aware of the fact that life is there. Your beloved is there. When I walk with the Sangha, it's exactly the same. Because the Sangha is my love. The 20th. The 21st century may be seen as a hill that we're going up. We are going up the hill of the century as a Sangha. We are doing walking meditation with the Sangha. Everyone's walking together. We flow as a river. We become one body. And this is possible. The collective energy generated by this practice is remarkable. It's evident. And it heals us and transforms us. When I walk with the Sangha, when I walk with you, in walking meditation, I bring my attention to my in-breath and my out-breath. My steps, the steps that I'm taking. That way I'm really there for myself and for my Sangha. And during the walking, I offer my Sangha my presence. My presence that has peace, concentration, and love. And everyone participating in that walk can do exactly the same thing. Everyone, each one of us, can generate the energy of mindfulness, of concentration, peace, happiness. And that is a gift that we offer to the ones we love, the Sangha. So to walk is to love. To sit is also to love. During a session of sitting meditation, we sit as a Sangha. I'm there in my sitting position. I'm really present for the sitting meditation. With every in-breath, with every out-breath, there is peace, there is concentration, there is happiness in me. And I am aware of the fact that my brothers and sisters are also there in the room, in the hall. And they are all doing exactly the same thing. Everyone is generating. Everyone can generate this energy of peace, of concentration, of joy. And all of us together, we can create this group energy that is very healing and nourishing. So I'm there on my cushion. I breathe. I'm at peace with myself. I'm in touch with life. I allow myself to be nourished by the wonders of life. And this is an act of love. You can offer this to the Sangha. We don't need to talk. I remember one time when the Buddha received several hundred monks who came to visit. every year, the monks practiced a rains retreat, 3 months. It was in the summertime for them. The Buddha stayed there after the retreat so that the monks coming in from other regions who had just finished their rains retreat could come and visit him. There were about 500 monks who came to the Buddha. They were invited to come in and sit down with the Buddha. Imagine 500 monks sitting there, and the Buddha didn't say anything. He just sat there with those 500 monks. It was 6 o'clock in the evening. And they stayed like that for hours and hours without saying a word. The Venerable Ananda came, whispered into the ear of the Buddha. Dear Master, it's already 10 p.m. It's late. Do you have something to say to the brothers? The Buddha stayed sitting there. Didn't say anything. And then a couple hours later, he came in. Ananda came and said, "It's midnight. Do you have anything to say?" And the Buddha stayed silent. They just sat there like that to offer their presence to each other. This is a very deep practice. They sat just like that for a very long time, until the morning. The Buddha said this, "What do you want me to say to the monks? It's a great happiness just to sit together like that. It's like sitting in the spring breeze. There is love. There is unity. There is brotherhood. In Chinese, there's this expression, sitting in the spring breeze. Sitting together in the spring breeze." So a session of sitting meditation, a true sitting meditation, is like that. There's mindfulness, there's concentration, there's love. You're there for yourself, you're there for the others. There's brotherhood and sisterhood. There's love. It's very powerful. This is the true practice of sitting meditation. It's not hard labor, it's a pleasure. Sitting in the spring breeze. I'm speaking about sitting. Yesterday we talked about walking side by side, stopping our thinking, concentrating on our steps, and being there for each other. There is love, there's happiness, thanks to mindfulness. Mindfulness allows us to be aware of what's happening. What is happening is that I'm there. My beloved is there with me. And the wonders of life are also there in this moment. And this mindfulness brings me a lot of happiness, and that's why in Buddhism we say that mindfulness is a source of happiness. Mindfulness cannot be bought in the supermarket. We have to produce it. We have to generate it with our walking meditation, with our mindful breathing. Meditating means, above all, generating the energy of mindfulness. Mindfulness allows us to be there. And to get in touch with what is there, the wonders of life, including our loved ones. It's so simple. And everyone can do it. One in-breath is enough to bring the mind back to the body and to become fully present, alive. When you're there, you can recognize the wonders of life, including the presence of your beloved. So we walk like that silently, but there's a lot of happiness. The same is true with our sitting. We're sitting there. We offer our presence. We want to be there for the one we love. There is was an industrialist who created a very sophisticated pill. If you took that pill, you could not have to drink for an entire week. This is a story told in the book The Little Prince. If you buy this pill, you can save 53 minutes a week. And the little prince said, what are you going to do with those 53 minutes? If it was myself, if I had 53 minutes, I would do walking to the fountain. Walking meditation to the fountain. And Antoine Saint-Exupéry did walking meditation with the prince. They went walking to look for a well. How can you find a well in the desert where they were? For the people listening in English, I'm sorry, the sound is very bad up here, so when Tai turns away, it's very hard for us to hear. So, a well is hidden somewhere. Antoine de Saint-Exupéry had the impression that the little prince did not need to drink. But it's not true. When he brought this idea to the little prince, the little prince said, "I'm also thirsty." And the little prince said, "You? Water is also good for the heart." When you walk in mindfulness, with every step, you can get in touch with that well, with that wellspring, that source, that well in your heart. It's all there in your heart, the love. When you take a step like that in mindfulness, you're in touch with the wonders of life, with yourself, with the wonders of life, with the person you love. So you drink that water that is good for your heart. The well is there with every step, every breath. Because life is available only in the present moment. Everything you are looking for can only be found in the present moment. The Buddha said, the past no longer is. The future has not yet come. There is only one moment when life is available, and that is the present moment. So your walking is to bring you back to the present moment. The breathing that you do is to bring you back to the present moment, to the mindfulness, so you can touch that well and get the water that is good for the heart. Mindfulness is a practice that allows us to establish ourselves in the present moment so that we can touch deeply the wonders of life that are right there. And according to this practice, this teaching, the kingdom of God must be found in the present moment. The Pure Land of the Buddha, peace, also love, everything has to be found in the present moment. When you walk in this way, like the little prince, you're in touch with the well. You drink that water that is good for your heart, for your mind. This is very healing, very powerful. You walk in harmony, and you nourish yourself with the wonders of life. You love someone, you love something, it's because that person or that thing is beautiful to you, is good. It represents beauty and goodness. And truth. because we all need beauty, goodness. It's love and truth. To love is to offer the other person what is beautiful in you, what is good in you, and what is true in you. So to love is to cultivate those things. In Plum Village, we have the practice of the pebbles. Each child has four pebbles. The first pebble represents a flower. The child puts that pebble in the palm of his or her left hand and takes a breath in. That first pebble represents a flower. Breathing in, I see myself as a flower. Breathing out, I feel fresh as a flower. And the child breathes in, breathes out, three times like that, to cultivate freshness. Because human beings, we are born as flowers. Look at a child. That's really a flower. His eyes, his face, her mouth, her hand, all of these things, they look just like flowers. We are born as flowers in the garden of humanity. But some of us know how to maintain and keep our flowerness, to stay fresh, beautiful, pleasant. So the practice of the flower is very important. We need to restore, to bring back our flowerness, this freshness, this beauty that is in us. We need to take good care of our body, and we need to take good care of our mind. We need to nourish them well. Breathing in, I see myself as a flower in the garden of humanity. Breathing out, I feel fresh. We restore that freshness because we need that freshness. And we can offer it also to the other person. If we have freshness, beauty, then we have something to offer to the one we love, to the world. The second pebble represents a mountain. The child practices like this. Breathing in, I see myself as a mountain. There's a mountain. And I feel solid. A mountain is solid. The wind cannot blow it over. Solidity, stability is something very important. If a person is not stable, is not solid, they're not happy, and you can't count on that person. So when I practice like that, I cultivate my solidity. We have to be solid, we have to be stable to be a refuge. You have this stability in you, you have this solidity in you that you can offer to the one you love. So meditation is also for cultivating solidity. When I walk like this in mindfulness, every step is solid. Every step cultivates solidity because I am really established in the present moment. The past is no longer there. It cannot pull me back, and the future cannot pull me forward. gratitude in this present moment. That's why each step helps me to cultivate solidity, stability. Walking in mindfulness, breathing in mindfulness, helps us to cultivate this stability, this solidity that are the foundation of true happiness. And if I have them, then I can offer those things to those around me. This is the practice of love, walking or breathing in mindfulness. After having breathed three times with the second pebble, the child begins the practice of the third pebble, which is still water. Breathing in, I see myself as still water. Breathing out, I reflect things just as they are. When we are calm, when we are at peace, we see things clearly. We are not the victim of wrong perceptions. So when water is still, it reflects the moon. That's why I need peace. I need serenity. I need calm to be happy. When I'm calm, when I'm peaceful, I'm happy, and I can offer that to my beloved. Peace is something we can offer. With meditation, we use very concrete images. First, a flower representing freshness, beauty, and then a mountain which represents solidity, stability, and the still water that represents calm, tranquility, serenity, peace. We have to cultivate peace. And in the practice, we have teachings that help us to cultivate these things, stability, freshness, and peace. The fourth pebble that the child practices with represents space. Breathing in, I see myself as space. Breathing out, I feel free. A happy person is one who has a lot of space inside and also around. So to meditate is also to cultivate freedom. This is not political freedom we're talking about. It's freedom from fear, from anxiety, from anger, from jealousy. Because those afflictions, when they take us over, they prevent us from being happy. They prevent us from being happy. They're like fire that burns us. Jealousy. So you want to drop those things to be free. And you can, in order to have that freedom, you have to practice looking deeply into the object of your anger. of your doubt, of your jealousy. A deep understanding can transform that anger, transform that anxiety . In Buddhism, we speak of salvation, of liberation, in terms not of grace, but of wisdom. Liberation thanks to wisdom. Insight is the fruit of looking deeply with mindfulness, with concentration. We look deeply into something. And that something may be our anger, our anxiety. And with that wonderful energy, we will be able to make a breakthrough. And reach that insight that liberates us from that anger, from that anxiety, from that fear. So meditation helps us to cultivate freedom. There is no true happiness without freedom. We need to offer ourselves freedom. If a person isn't free, she can't be happy. You can measure the happiness of a person according to their freedom. Their freedom in relation to the things in our life, like anger, jealousy, etc. And when you have freedom, you can offer that to the person you love. That is the most precious thing that you can offer to the other person. If you love someone, you have to offer him or her space. Put space, give space to that person. That is something very precious. Look at the moon in the sky. Traveling across the sky. The moon has so much space. That's why it's so happy. And that's why we need to obtain that space for our own heart. To let go, to get rid of the things that chain us. And if you succeed in having space in your heart, then you can offer it to the one you love. That's pebble meditation. There are only four pebbles: the flower, the mountain, still water, and space. To give yourself beauty and freshness, to offer yourself the solidity, stability, to get peace, freedom for yourself. You have a lot to offer your loved ones. And your loved ones will want to come and sit with you because you have all those things. They need you. And you have this opportunity to share the practice because you see that person can enjoy the same things. If your partner doesn't like the practice of meditation that you do, that's because you have not succeeded in your practice. If your practice is successful, you become more beautiful, more fresh, more free, more happy. And that person will need you. They will want to come and sit close to you. That's for sure. So it's not necessary to try to convince the person of your practice. Just practice well, that's all. And that person will realize that this practice works for you, and it can work for him or for her too. Saint-Exupéry said to love is not to look at each other, but to look together in the same direction. And he didn't mean in the direction of the television. At the beginning, we only want to look at each other, but because we don't practice well, we don't want to see each other anymore. It's because we have not known how to cultivate the beauty, the peace, freedom, and solidity. And now there's no more pleasure in looking at each other. That's why you'd rather look at the television than each other. This is a tragedy. In true love, we should enjoy the other person's presence. Even walking in silence, sitting in silence, even if the TV is off, right? So looking in the same direction, it means that the two of you are practicing the same thing. You may be Catholic, you may be Protestant, Buddhist, you practice the same. An in-breath in mindfulness, an out-breath in mindfulness, a step taken in mindfulness to cultivate those things. To be beautiful, free, happy. Buddha spoke of true love, and the elements that constitute true love are, first of all, Maitri, M-A-I-T-R-I, that's Sanskrit, Maitri comes from the word Mitra, it means friend. Friendship. Love is first of all friendship, friendliness. Maitri is an energy that you cultivate in yourself. Maitri is the capacity to be happy, to produce happiness for another person and for yourself. Maitri is to have happiness. Next, we have Karuna, K-A-R-U-N-A. Maitri in French, or in English, we call it loving kindness. Maybe you have another word you'd like better to translate Maitri. Karuna we translate as compassion. The role of Maitri is to offer happiness. The role of Karuna is to transform suffering. There is suffering in the other person. And with your Karuna, you will be able to help that person to suffer less and transform their suffering. Maitri is for producing happiness and Karuna is for transforming suffering. The third element of true love that the Buddha taught is mudita, M-U-D-I-T-A, mudita, joy, joy. True love always brings joy. If you cry and you make the other person cry, this is not true love. We offer joy to ourselves and to the other person. And finally, there is the fourth element, upeksha, U-P-E-K-S-H-A, upeksha, upeksha. That is equanimity or non-discrimination. Upeksha is the absence of boundary, no line of demarcation between the one who loves and the one who is loved. There's no more discrimination. So upeksha may be translated as non-discrimination. Equanimity. When you love with that love, his suffering is your own suffering. Her happiness is your happiness. You share. There's no more boundary. It's like we say in the contemplation before chanting, the Sangha breathes as one body, listens as one body, and chants as one body. That is upeksha. When you are truly loving, you practice upeksha. You are one with him, with her, and your suffering is his or her suffering. Your happiness is his or her happiness. There's no I and you. So when you offer happiness to the other person, you're offering happiness to yourself. That's what upeksha means. When you manage to transform suffering in the other person, you suffer less because his or her suffering is your own. And when person has joy that is your own joy, there's no more jealousy or envy. His or her success or happiness is your success, your happiness. There's no discrimination. And in the teaching of the Buddha, the practice of Maitri, like the practice of Karuna, is very concrete. Maitri, loving kindness, happiness. We need to obtain these things for ourselves before we can offer them to the other person. In true love, it always begins with ourself. Like the freshness. If you want to offer freshness, you have to have freshness. Then you can offer freshness. Goodness. So Maitri is for you first. And if you succeed, then it's very easy to offer to the other person. In Buddhism, love for another person always begins within ourselves. We have to cultivate these qualities before we can offer them to the other person. Tai is asking the attendant to show him his bag. Meditation on love, may I be at peace, happy and light in body and mind. May I be healthy and safe in my daily life and free from accidents. May I be free from anger, worry. May I know how to look at myself with the eyes of compassion and love. May I recognize and touch in myself the seeds of joy and happiness. May I recognize in myself the seeds of anger and attachment. May I know how to nourish in myself every day the seeds of joy. May I live my life with freshness, serenity, and freedom. May I free myself of attachment and aversion. That's the first part of the meditation on love. The second part, may he or she be at peace, happy, and light in body and mind. So you see, we always have to begin with ourselves first. May I be at peace, happy, and light in body and spirit. That's the first thing we wish for ourselves. Peaceful, happy, and light in body and spirit. You know exactly what you want. You practice to be able to realize that. You have to first of all know what you need. That peace, this happiness, and well-being in the body and the mind. And when you stay in Plum Village or another practice center, we know how to walk, we know how to breathe, we know how to eat, we know how to brush our teeth, all in ways that these things can be realized. We can always brush our teeth in a way that peace, joy, and love are possible during those few moments of brushing. How? With mindfulness. With mindfulness, you're concentrated on the fact that you are brushing your teeth. You're not taken over by the past or the future. You are aware of the fact that you're brushing your teeth. This is something wonderful, to still have teeth to brush, especially at my age. Brushing our teeth in mindfulness can bring happiness and peace and freshness, brotherhood and sisterhood. And when you drink your tea in mindfulness. You're aware of the fact that this cup is in your hands. With mindfulness, you realize that you're there, alive. You're drinking your tea. That is a wonderful thing, to be there, still alive, with a cup of tea in your hand to drink. That's why we organize sessions of tea meditation, tea ceremony. We spend an hour or 2 hours just with a cup of tea, because there's the presence, your presence, the presence of all the others. And you enjoy every moment with your in-breath and your out-breath in mindfulness. You taste, you savor every moment, every minute. That is what the tea ceremony or the tea meditation is for. A cup of tea, 1 or 2 hours. To celebrate life. To celebrate brotherhood and sisterhood. Celebrate love, because you're there with your loved one, and the wonders of life are there. So we have to stop. We have to know how to stop to live. There's a running, a race that we are running, and it prevents us from living each moment of our life. We have the impression that happiness is not possible now. We still need We have to go into to the future to find some more conditions, because happiness is not possible now, and that's why we're running. This race began already with our ancestors. And so we have this habit of running. Running all our life. And the Buddha said this, "Dear friends, happiness is possible in the present moment." In the teaching given to businessmen, the Buddha said, "Dear sirs, happiness is possible in the present moment." He used that expression 5 times in that talk, Drishta Dharma Sukha Vihara. Drishta Dharma Sukha Vihara. Living happily in the present moment. That is the essence of the Buddha's teaching. So when you walk with the man, the woman you love, you have to stop. You walk, but you've already stopped. You've stopped the running, the pursuit of things in the future. You're really there. You've stopped. In Buddhist meditation, stopping is very important. Stopping is an integral part of meditation. This means stop. If you travel in China, you'll see this character all over the place. It's a stop sign. When you're in the sitting position to meditate, you're doing sitting meditation, you have to stop. Stop the running. You have to be there in the present moment. Every in-breath, every out-breath brings you back to the present moment, to live fully that moment. So stopping permits you to get deeply in touch with life. When you walk like this, even if you are walking, you are really in touch with the present moment that you have stopped. You have stopped the race to be able to truly walk. So in Buddhism, stopping means arriving. It's true. You have arrived. In Plum Village, we practice, "I have arrived. I am home. My home is the present moment." And every moment of our daily life, we can be at home, at ease in the present moment. Not seeking, not running anymore. So that is to arrive. You have already arrived in the present moment, arrived at the destination of life. So stopping is very important in meditation. And as this running has become such a strong habit, already transmitted to us by our ancestors, we just continue, always seeking something else, always running after things, we've had the good fortune to meet the Dharma. And we say, you know, I've run my whole life. What have I done with my life? I don't want to go on like that. I'm going to stop and really live. And how do we stop? How do we stop ourselves? One in-breath in mindfulness. One step in mindfulness. Brushing our teeth in the present moment. All of that helps you to stop and to begin to really live your life deeply. We need this energy called mindfulness. Smriti in Sanskrit. S-M-R-T-I. That helps us to be there. To live and to love. And the energy of mindfulness carries within it the energy of concentration, samadhi, S-A-M-A-D-H-I, samadhi. And when mindfulness and samadhi, concentration, are strong, then we can make a breakthrough into reality, what is there. And we attain what we call prajna. It means insight. Prajna, P-R-A-J-N-A. Prajna, insight, is what liberates us from our fear, from our anxiety, from our anger. It frees us. So these three energies that we produce, that we want to generate through our practice, are mindfulness, concentration, and insight. Mindfulness and concentration always lead to insight. So when Michael Jackson said, "This is it, this is it," the wonders of life are already there for us to stop and begin to enjoy. This is it. Michael's still here. We live for him. The present moment, the kingdom of God, the pure land of the Buddha, freedom, happiness, love, all these are found in the present moment. We need to come back to this moment with the practice. In Plum Village, that's what we do every day, every minute, thanks to our breathing, thanks to our walking in mindfulness. When I see you walking, I know that you are true lovers. If you taste and savor each step, walking with the other person, I know you are true lovers. And it's doable. Very pleasant to do. It's easy. And it doesn't cost anything. Generating the energy of mindfulness, concentration, and you enjoy the walk, the sitting with your loved one. So Maitri is to offer ourself happiness. To love is to offer happiness. First of all, to yourself. And if you can do that, you can offer it to the other person. You offer a mindfulness retreat after having practiced like that. You can offer mindfulness retreat so they can also taste that happiness, that peace, that serenity, thanks to the practice. Karuna is for transforming pain. There is pain, there's suffering in us. You want to help the other person to suffer less, but you have to know how to do it with yourself. There is suffering in ourselves, and our suffering is closely linked to the suffering of the world. So we have to come back to ourself and get in touch with that suffering inside. We have to listen to our own suffering. With mindful breathing, with walking in mindfulness, you will have the energy. People are afraid of their suffering. They don't want to get in touch with that suffering inside. The practice, their practice is to run away from themselves with consumption. We try to cover over our suffering through consumption. The Buddha recommends to us to generate the energy of mindfulness, of concentration, so that we can be strong enough to come back to ourselves and embrace tenderly that suffering that is in us. That suffering is yourself. You have to love yourself. Suffering is the first noble truth in Buddhism. And thanks to suffering, happiness is possible. Just like with the mud, you can cultivate lotus flowers. We have to know how to find the lotus in the mud. We have to learn to make happiness out of the suffering. That's the teaching of the Buddha. We have to begin with the suffering. We have to be brave enough to come back to ourselves and listen to our own suffering to be able to understand it. And if you are equipped with the energy of mindfulness, of concentration, then you don't need to be afraid. You can come back and gently embrace that suffering that's there. And if you have a sangha, a community of practice, it will be much easier. Because with that collective energy of mindfulness, of the sangha, you can easily recognize and embrace the pain in you. You have come to the sangha, you come to the sangha and you say, "Dear sangha, here is my pain, here's my suffering. Help me to embrace this suffering in me," and everyone will do it. We have to make use of the collective energy of the sangha, especially if you're a beginner. We don't fight our suffering. We embrace it. We embrace it with a lot of gentleness, and we try to look deeply into the nature of that suffering. So, according to the practice of the Buddha, suffering is the first noble truth, and if you can look deeply into that truth, you will find the second truth. That is, the second truth is the cause, the roots, the nature of that suffering. You know now how that suffering was made. How you have nourished, fed that suffering. You have given that suffering permission to establish itself, and you've continued to feed the suffering. You have lived in such a way, you have consumed in such a way, that that suffering became a reality. The way of living, the way of nurturing this suffering, that's the second noble truth. So when you look deeply into suffering, you can discover the second truth, the cause, the nature of the suffering, how the suffering has been nourished. And after having seen the cause, the source of food that has fueled that suffering, then you know exactly what to do, how to stop and transform the suffering. You have to cut off that source of food for the suffering. We have to live differently. We must not keep feeding that suffering. And this practice will lead you to happiness. It means the transformation of your suffering. Karuna, with mindfulness, with concentration, we come back to ourselves to look deeply, to listen to the suffering inside so that we can get to this understanding, this wisdom, this insight into what are the causes of the suffering. And that understanding will liberate you. So when we understand our suffering, we suffer much less right away. There's a relief in the understanding of your own suffering. It brings relief. You've become much lighter, and your way of looking is transformed. Now you can go to him, to her, to help the other person. Your look is different. Your way is different because in you there is already this wisdom, this knowing the suffering in you, and you are on the path of transformation, of healing. And then you can go to the other person to help. My dear, I know there's suffering in you. I also have suffering. I've listened to the suffering in me, and I've been able to free myself. I want to help. Tell me, my dear. Talk to me about your suffering. I want to understand and I want to help. We have to embrace our suffering and look deeply into the nature of that suffering so that we can understand it. I'm here to help you. I practice with you. This is loving speech that you're practicing in order to help the other person with walking, with breathing. You will be able to recognize the suffering in him or her and be able to understand. And the other person will also get the relief. Obtaining happiness, transforming suffering, offering joy, and being in the spirit of non-discrimination. The teachings of the Buddha on love are very deep. And your love is always growing every day. The four elements here, Maitri, Karuna, Mudita, Upeksha, are the four immeasurable minds, because it can grow infinitely. So this love is called boundless love. We can begin with one person, but when we love with this kind of love, it will embrace all the other people, all of humanity, the entire planet. And that's what Siddhartha did. He started with one person. He made progress, and in the end, he embraced the whole world, the whole planet, with his love. Hans Christian Andersen wrote a fairy tale, a story that I love very much. It's a 5-year-old who's suffering very deeply already at 5 years old. One day, there were visitors. They came into a high house, and from on high they observed down below. There were children playing in a tannery courtyard. A dog had just died, and the children decided to bury, to dig a hole to bury the dog. And after that, they wanted to build a tomb for the dog. They used dirt, sand, flower pot. In the middle, they made a tomb. And after having realized that project, all the children began to dance around the tomb of this dog. It was so pretty. The biggest boy, 7 years old, proposed that they could invite all the children from the area to come and visit this tomb. And each person should have their ticket to present. And the ticket was a button from their pants. Every boy was wearing pants, so there's no problem to find a button. For the girls, they had to get a boy to get a button. So a boy would invite a girl, and then he had to take 2 buttons off his pants for the ticket to enter. So they would come and spend some time and then go out. And all the children from that street came to look at the tomb, except one little girl, 5 years old. that girl. Her eyes were blue, very lovely to look at, but no one offered her a button. So someone went in, she would look, and the child would come out, she would look inside, but she couldn't go in because she had no button. When the last child left, she sat down, and she burst into tears. She suffered so much. She cried and cried. When young people suffer, they cry like that. It's the greatest suffering. That little girl suffered like that. And from the point of view of the visitors, far and high, they have another idea. They think it's a small suffering, such a small suffering. Why is she suffering so much like that? Not having a button. Not getting a chance to go and look at the tomb. When you're far away, when you look at something from far away, you can see more clearly. What are we doing here in Plum Village? What are we seeking? It's a very far away, a remote community in France. Is our partner here with us, or is she or he back at home? What is he or she doing now? You have the time to think about him or her, to imagine what the other person is doing. It could be father, mother, brother, sister, son or daughter, partner. What is that person doing now? And you can look with your mind's eye. You cannot see that person with your flesh eyes, but with your mind's eye. You can look and see, what is that person doing? And several minutes are enough for love to flow out of your heart. The astronauts on the Apollo expedition were far above the Earth, all the way up to the moon. June 1969, we had the first man on the moon, 1969, and from the moon they could see the Earth. And they saw it was something so beautiful. They saw that image. I'm wondering if Brother Fa'au has that image to show to us. The image of our own planet. And I'm sure that if you look at this planet, you will see in this planet, and you will see the one you love. the astronauts who went to the moon brought us back these images of our planet, and they said this: we left as technicians, but we came back to Earth as humanitarians. There was a great transformation in the astronauts. Love was born. Our planet is so beautiful, so precious, so fragile. And we're destroying it with our way of living, with war, violence. We don't see. We have to take some distance. We had to go all the way to the moon to see clearly our own planet. Where's Vapau? He's here. Do you have the image? He's going to show us. Do you have it? Pretty soon. Is it possible to make a copy, make copies of this love meditation? May he be peaceful, light, and happy in body and mind. May he be healthy and safe in daily life and free from accidents. We wish that for ourselves, and we wish it for our beloved. We wish it for everyone. Three parts. Love begins with myself. And it continues with my loved ones, and then with everyone. That's the love of the Buddha. May I be peaceful, happy, and light in body and spirit. May my loved one be peaceful, light, and happy in body and mind. May they be peaceful, happy, and light in body and spirit. So we progress beginning with ourself. We can begin with the flower, the mountain, the still water, and space. The sound of the small bell so we can massage our legs. We're going to try to put up the image on the whiteboard. If you are a teacher, a parent, you can show this image of planet Earth to your students, to your children. To help compassion and love to be born for our beautiful planet. Do you know the song? Happiness is here and now. happiness is here and now. I have dropped my worries. Nowhere to go, nothing to do. No longer in a hurry. Happiness is here and now. I have dropped my worries. Somewhere to go, something to do, but not in a hurry. It's true, you have all the time you need.